open our hearts to hear your messages today and in the coming weeks, and use them to bring us into a closer relationship with you. We give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want to show of hands. Has anyone in this room never, not even one time, made a bad choice? No one? Becky? No? Pam? No one? Okay, let's try it again. Has anyone in this room ever made a bad choice? I don't have enough hands to raise them. Really important choices like what you're going to order for lunch today when you go out. And should you buy those shoes over at Dillard's that are on sale that you might never wear? Anybody got any of those? Okay, but here's a good example of a really important choice. When the Holy Spirit tells you not to say another word, and yet we do it. Look how these ladies justify gossip. I'll read it. We don't like to refer to it as gossiping. We simply consider it sharing our opinions about other people's life choices. Ladies, we need to choose not to gossip. And then how about our attitudes? My sweet cousin Robin often quotes me a familiar slogan because I often need to hear it. She will say, attitude is everything. Choose a good one, Pine Knot, my childhood nickname. For us, dear sisters, it needs to be, attitude is everything. Choose a God one. I love this Peanuts cartoon. Attitude is contagious. Is yours worth catching? Let's think about that one. Now me, I always have a really good, perfect attitude. As long as everything goes my way. And there are 24 WOW team members that will testify in court under oath. That's a true statement. Have you noticed how we often get to know someone by observing the choices they make? Now, our dear sister Dee, she chooses beautiful works of art to emphasize her teachings. You might notice I choose cartoons. Now, I'm not really sure what that says about me, but for sure, I know it says that I am not Dee, so please hang with me while I try to deliver a message about the importance of our choices. Excuse me. I'm not sure how you cough with one of these. As we begin this teaching journey, I hope we come to understand how our choices not only impact our lives, but more important, our relationship with God. And as you follow along in your booklets, the screens will be the bold headings in your booklets, and underneath will be key points and personal reflection questions in your outlines. So let's begin. A life fully lived is a life full of choices. Now, some choices are going to be manageable and easy to make. Those are fun. Some choices involve activities we love to do. Even more fun. Some choices are more about our emotions and our behaviors, like choosing God and hope and love and joy, Becky and Alpha's favorites. If we make the right choices, they make us feel good. But some choices will be scary, and they'll be hard to make. Those choices can rock our worlds. They can determine paths that we take for years to come, choices concerning our faith and health, marriage, children, where we're going to live. And often we experience consequences that never seem to end for the rest of our lives. I've made a number of those bad choices, and I continue to live with those consequences every day. No one is exempt from the need to make choices. Now, the personal reflection questions, those are for you to pray about and to be honest with yourselves when you have time and you want to. So first one, What are the most difficult choices you struggle to make? It's in your outline. I think it will be helpful for us to understand why we were given the gift of making our own choices. Now, in the beginning, God gave us free will. Free will is the freedom to make our own choice, and it is a gift from God. In Genesis 2:16, the Lord commanded man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden," states very clearly that God gave man the freedom to make his own choice. But in verse 17, God added a condition to the freedom he just gave Adam, along with a consequence right up front. "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." That last part of the verse says, "when you eat from it." Apparently, Adam didn't pay attention. Look at the screen. That's a cartoon work of art up there. Adam looks like he's thinking, "Well, I don't know if I should. But if you say so, yeah, I guess I will. It's not going to be my fault. You told me to do it." He took no responsibility for the choice he made to eat that apple. Now, we have heard and read these verses often, but do you realize that was the moment that we, humans, became responsible for our choices and our consequences? And God knew when he gave man free will, it would be our demise. So why did he do it? That's a good question. Because God didn't create us to be robots. He created us in his image. God created us to be devoted and to love him from our hearts. Remember, God chose us first. We didn't choose him. And so he loves us so much, he wants us to choose to love him in return. He desires a relationship with us, not a dictatorship. So how does this work? God is large and in charge, but now we have free will. R.C. Sproul writes, "God's sovereign providence stands over and above our actions. He works out his will through the actions of human wills without ever violating the freedom of our wills." Now, that's an important truth for us to understand. It's in your outline, underlined. Writer David Boxwieman puts it a simpler way. Maybe this makes more sense. The peace and comfort that we have in our decision-making is that God loves us. He will always accomplish his supreme purpose in every decision we make, even if we mess up. God will oversee our lives with all our sins and our mistakes for our good, his glory. He is still the God who by his sovereign will, we know, causes everything to work to good for those who love him. Romans 8:28. The bottom line is, whether we make good choices or bad choices, God will work his plan for good, and always his will be done. Now, personal reflection question. Have you seen God take a bad choice and make something good out of it? Hopefully we all have. Now, we've established that God gave us free will to make our own choices. Henry Blackaby takes that responsibility a step further. It's on the screen. It's a header in your outline. Your life is the sum of choices you have made towards God. Once God makes himself known to you, what you do next is your choice. Your reaction reflects what you believe about him. If we don't have a relationship with God, these choices, they can test our faith and our belief in who God is. God is not only able, but willing to fulfill every promise in Scripture. Psalms 50:15 is a good example. "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will rescue you." But first, we must do our part and choose to call upon him with believing hearts. Then God will rescue us in our day of trouble, in his timing and for his glory. Are we catching up in the booklet? I don't have the pages marked, so I'm sorry I can't tell you to go to the next page. Okay, so here's where we're at. God's going to rescue us in our day of trouble. It'll be in his timing and for his glory. That is God's character. He can be no other way. He can't go against who he is. If he says he will do it, he will do it. But we must do our part with believing hearts. If you are expecting to receive God's blessings without a relationship with him, it is like trying to run a marathon before you even run 1 mile or a block. The only way we can have believing hearts is to choose to put in the effort, to spend time with God, to study his word, to have a relationship with him. Now, ladies, we have every valid excuse why we never make a committed choice to deepen our relationship with God. So, why don't we try this? Let's put on those Nike shoes and just do it. No more excuses. As we strengthen our relationship with God and get to know him, we will better understand the connection between our choices and God's responses. Am I making sense? Yes. Oh, okay, good. Let's continue with that point. The choices we face will be as numerous as the stars, but none will be as critical as the choices you make in response to God. Now, I read this while preparing this teaching, and I'm really sorry I didn't document the author. But I remember he was really biblically solid and Pam approved. So I think that this is a trusted truth. So can you read it together with me? Let's read this together and think about it. The choices we face will be as numerous as the stars, but none will be as critical as the choices you make in response to God. Personal reflection. What choices have you faced that tested your belief in who God is? We've probably all had some of those too. Now, let me tie this all together with our teaching theme for this session, exploring our part in God's word. And we will learn that we have a part and God has a part. And an important aspect of this concept that we need to grasp and we need to accept and we need to say, okay, I get this, is on the screen, next screen. Oh, nope, I'm sorry, that's the right screen. Okay, here we go. First, we need to choose to accept that our responses to the choices God gives us is a prerequisite to his response. Let's read that one together and think about it. Choose to accept that our responses to the choices God gives is a prerequisite to his responses. And once again, I failed to document this author, but he was a really, really good one we like. So listen to God's word here. Psalm 84:11. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Please hear this. The Lord will withhold no good things in his eyes and for our good from us, but we must make good choices to do what is right. That means godly choices. We can't blame God if he can't bless us when we don't choose his way. And we'll have to take responsibility for any consequences of bad choices. That isn't fun. Trust me, that is not fun. Another point about bad choices is they not only affect God's response to us, but our responses to God's word directly impacts our relationship with him. Wow, That could be a huge takeaway for today. Highlight that one in your book there. Adam and Eve, they had the perfect relationship with the Father and they blew it. What is our excuse? God has given us everything we need to choose Him and make God-directed choices. We have Jesus and His Word, the Holy Spirit. We can think, we can reason, we have free will. We have no excuse, ladies. Personal reflection question. I like this one. Think about it. Do you intentionally make choices that will deepen your relationship with God? We might ask the Holy Spirit to help us with that one. Understanding the importance of our relationship with God is foundational to the theme of our teachings this session. I hope that I've been able to do that. So let's move on. Often there are two parts to God's promises and to His words. Not all the time, but a lot of His scripture you will now see this in. We are calling these our part and God's part. Our part in God's word, the choices we make in response to God's word. That's our part. All we've got to do is make a choice. Now, these choices God gives are often gives these in His words, and they're very clear. Choices that can help us live in God's joy and peace. Choices that will deepen our relationship with His Lord. We participate in God's promises by choosing God daily. Now, the next 7 weeks, your teachers will be focusing on some of our parts in God's word, such as minus choose, I'm week one, trust, surrender, wait, receive, forgive, humility, and believe. We will learn that each one of those is a choice we make to do, and that our part will always require a choice. Now, God has a part in this relationship with us. Let's look at God's part. It is God's response when we do our part in His word. That's where we're at in your workbooks, in your outline, right there, and it's on the screen. God has a leading role in our relationship with Him. He can and He will give us life and guidance, renewal, strength, lift, and power. I wished we had our whiteboard, Jessica, that was all the things that God will and do and wants to be for us. These are just the tip of the iceberg. God is waiting to bless us with His gifts. 1 John 3:22. We receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. We sort of like to focus on we receive from Him anything we ask. that's God's part. And once again, we have a choice to make to receive that part. We must obey and do what pleases Him. He's really clear. He makes it really, really clear to us. Then we can receive from Him anything we ask. But remember, that will be at God's discretion for our best interest and for His glory. The goal this session is that we learn to become alert to our part in Scripture and understand that it directly affects God's part in His promises. Personal reflection. Does the concept of our part and God's part speak to your hearts? Let's apply this concept to Scripture and explore Deuteronomy 30, 19, 20a. That's the heading in your workbook. Are we all there? You good? Okay. Important insights into the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy records Moses' final words to the Israelites before he entered the Promised Land. I think most of us probably remember that. He called on the people to reject all forms of idolatry and for the new generation to renew the earlier covenant with God that their parents had broken. I know this is hard to see. I'm going to explain it. It was written in 1400 BC in the 40th year after the Israelites had left Egypt. They had been wandering in the wilderness because of their disobedience to God. Now, I love this cartoon. It's hard to see, but I think you will enjoy it. The one lady that kind of has her head turned to us, she's carrying a baby, and she is wearing a pair of high heels. And she says, if I'd known we'd be this long wandering in the wilderness, I would have never wore these heels. Talk about a bad choice. Moses was giving the Israelites choices to make if they wanted to step into the promised land. And I'm sure they weren't talking about the shoes they were going to wear. The message of Deuteronomy can be summed up, devote yourself wholeheartedly to God. And Moses made an or else very clear in the closing scripture. Let's read. I'm going to read it. This day I call heaven and the earth as witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. What is our part in this scripture? You with me? We're going to look at this. Our part is to now choose life. God made that clear. And who is life? The scripture tells us. The Lord is your life. Choosing life is choosing God. And now that's not the first time God gave that choice to mankind. God had given that same choice to Adam and Eve. Remember, we just talked about it. You must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you do, you will surely die. Their choice was life or death. They chose death. Moses challenged Israel to choose life. God challenges us to choose life also. The Israelites knew the repercussions of choosing death, separation from God. We know the repercussion of choosing death, same separation from God. And yet, we continue to struggle with that life and death choice and the consequences that follow. Why does our loving God continue to invest in us when we continue to mess up? Again, because he loves us and he is devoted to having a relationship to us and forgiving us. Please allow the Holy Spirit to fill your heart with this truth. Because if you are trying your hardest to make godly choices without a relationship with God, you are always going to be frustrated and asking why. Why doesn't God bless me and answer my prayers? Why can't I find the peace and joy the Bible talks about? Let me emphasize the importance of understanding God's character so that you can deepen your relationship with God. Let's connect the dots, ladies. Knowing God's character, having a relationship with him, and choosing God's ways, it's all connected. And the bottom line is, the choice is ours to make. Choosing God is an ongoing, intentional choice we must make daily, regardless of our circumstances. Our part in this scripture is to choose God, and it is a life and death choice. But now for some really good news on the screen. Okay, God's part. We're now in God's part in Deuteronomy and in your outline. Remember, God's part is his response when we do our part. This verse says if we choose life, that is God, we will receive these blessings. From verse 20, you and your children may live. You may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. By choosing life, we and our children will be given a life with God. We will be given blessings from God. God will speak to us, and he will listen to us, and he will guide us in our lives, and he will be there for us to hold fast to. That is what God wants to do. because God loves us too much, it's in your outline, to allow us to be spoiled, defiant children that are given all these treasures without taking responsibility for our choices. Is it on the next page? Okay, I'll let you flip your things. And maybe I'll read that one again when it's all quiet. I think we need to hear this. God loves us too much to allow us to be spoiled, defiant children that are given all these treasures without taking responsibility for our choices. Hey, we all know how spoiled children act. Did anybody have any of those? Now, how can we stop acting like spoiled children and have an obedient spirit? By knowing God. Because I, from experiencing God's study, I took the very first one with my dear friend Ruthie. I learned when you know God, it's in your outline, follow along with me. When you know God, then you will love God. And when you love God, you're going to trust God. And when you trust God, then you're going to obey God. A relationship with God changes obedience from a burden to a privilege. I want to clarify something. Doing our part is not acts of service or works, as it is often called. Now, acts of service can be an outward expression of our devotion to God, but when the motives for those acts are to earn God's favor, then it becomes works. Choosing to obey God with a believing heart, that's the obedience that God is longing for. Godly choices are a blessing given from a loving Father. Personal reflection. How do you feel about the choices that God gives in Deuteronomy? Think about it. Now, this is all well and good, ladies. But the reality is that choosing God can be difficult at times. And why might that be? What is the reason that we struggle with that? I didn't want to just, you know, I just, people say, oh, just trust the Lord. Or, you know, just, it's okay, just wait on the Lord. Well, you know, it isn't always easy to do that. And we have a lot that's happened in our lives. So let's look at a few possible reasons why it might be true sometimes. Emotions, they can deceive us. It's in your outline. They can deceive us and trick us into making unwise choices. Huh? Anybody knew that? Okay, circumstances. Life will always be changing. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. We cannot rely on circumstances. Now, core beliefs, this is a big one for me. Our childhoods, our upbringings, memories, they all contribute to beliefs that we hold deep in our souls, especially if they weren't healthy ones. Now, non-positive experiences, they can influence our choices in a negative way. Pride, We often fail to refuse to seek guidance in our choices. And fear. Fear, it can fuel all the reasons we battle with making godly choices. Please hear this. Fear is from Satan. Am I right, Becky? Fear is from Satan. And he is the force behind the struggles we have with choosing God. And if you don't believe me, you check out John 10:10. Personal reflection question. What might be the reasons that you struggle with choosing God's way? And if we're honest and we answer that, maybe that can help us when we're struggling with trusting God or struggling with believing a promise. But ladies, we can make good choices. And we can start by choosing to be grateful. In your outline, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Gratitude, it is like a compass that can help guide us towards God, who is the source of all our blessings. Now, I wished I could say that my compass is always pointed in the right direction, but it's not, and I'm not always grateful. Sometimes I feel like my compass has been smashed and I fell in a hole. But when I need to dig myself out of a hole, gratitude makes an excellent shovel. Ladies, let's start shoveling. And I promise you, you won't get a backache from that one. When you live in gratitude, you live in peace, and then you'll seek God first, and peace can guide your choices. And here's another really good choice. Choose to praise. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to the Lord, and the other prisoners were listening to them. When Paul and Silas were in prison, bloodied and badly bruised, they could have gone into despair, but instead they began singing hymns. Probably didn't feel like it, but they chose to praise God. And you too, once again, can step into God's peace when you begin to praise. With God's peace, you receive the strength to make the right choices. Now, gratitude, praise, and peace can help guide your choices, but nothing is more important than submitting to Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. So, who is guiding your life? Be honest. Being saved doesn't mean that Christ is directing your life. Allowing Christ to lead is a deliberate choice we must make for ourselves. Jesus will give us a life full of joy and hope. Following Jesus is always the right choice, and it is our choice to make. Let me close this in prayer. Lord, thank you for revealing yourself to us today, for our many blessings, for your mercy, for your grace. Thank you for a future that is full of hope and godly choices. Give us grateful hearts and keep our faces always turned towards you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I wish you an amazing first day of class. Go and enjoy and exit the fellowship hall quickly. Is it okay? Did it make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
It was so easy to follow, too. Yeah. Thank you. And I loved your cartoons.
Thank you. I'm going to try to get somewhere here and pull this around. Did it make sense?
It was fabulous.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
It worried me that it was going to be too
really
complicated.
Good. Really, really good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So many things I needed to rehear.
Okay.
Relearn.
Good. Good. Okay, I'm going to get her.